Let's get ready for our study on the Word of God. It is the Wednesday night before Christmas, which will be Monday. And it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas when you walk around a mall with your wife. Let's buy this, let's buy that. And so I enjoyed the crowd. That was fun. So let's begin with a word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer is to test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit. And tonight we continue and really start, to me, one of the most important studies that I've done in the Word of God. So let's prepare ourselves for the study. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the whole world that has anything to do with Christendom knows that you are love. The problem is they don't know what love is. They don't understand your love. I pray your Spirit will open our eyes tonight as we study your love, that we might have that love flowing through us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now last week we took up different words for love in the Old Testament, chesed and ahav. And tonight we went through some New Testament words that are in the Bible, agape and phileo. And so tonight we start off with Roman numeral 2. Roman numeral 1 was the words. Roman numeral 2, we're going to enter into a discussion on description. There is a great difficulty in trying to define love. Archbishop Trench labors for pages. Kittle's 8 volumes, but just one volume dealing with love, those two words. Dictionary has pages, all trying to put their hands on some definition of love. But they're not able to do it. And I'll never forget sitting in my office when the Holy Spirit tapped me on the shoulder, picture for him, and said, the Bible doesn't define love. And I just sat there with my mouth open, and I went, wow, that's amazing. And that's true, Herman. It doesn't define love. It defines faith. It defines God, His essence, His being, sovereignty, righteousness, justice, His Spirit. But the Bible does not define love. The Bible illustrates love by giving some of its characteristics, impacts, effects, when love is present. And from this we learn about love. The Bible reveals the environment that love creates in your soul and the environment it will create in your life when it's flowing through you. It shows what conditions are like when God's love, we call it spiritual love, God's love is present. And what it's like in your soul and in your life when it's absent. See? Bible makes it clear by action and thought what love is. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, you don't need to turn to it, but let me read to you. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Then we have the famous John 3:16. And then we have 1 John 3:16 that talk about love. The Bible makes it clear what happens when love is absent, when love is present inside the soul, where His love does not exist. And there's hate, resentment, jealousy, anger, bitterness, arrogance, judging, so many things like that. You know that love is not there. The environment in your life, your marriage, in your local church, if love is not there. Fights, hurting one another, inconsiderate of one another, judging one another, competing with one another, biting and devouring from Galatians one another, consuming one another, calling one another on a carpet, All these things, you know one thing. Love is not there. His love is not there. Nobody has to tell you. You know when his love is not present. Now, we're speaking about love. Wherever it is found, there are certain characteristics of love. The thing that changes in the category. That's the only thing that changes. So we have three categories of love we're going to be looking at. One, divine. Divine love. Love from God, straight from God. Two, human love. Just human being. Unsaved, the human race. And three, new spiritual species, the new spiritual creation. A born-again believer filled with the Holy Spirit. A born-again believer not filled with the Spirit has his love just like the human race. A born-again believer filled with the Spirit puts forth spiritual love. I came up with spiritual love out of spiritual gifts. There's something given by the Holy Spirit only to a spiritual being and has spiritual impact. So, since the Bible does not define love, we will not define love. But don't be distracted by this, because I learned some time ago you're already familiar with this phenomenon. Not being able to define something, but understanding it, and it's a part of us every day, 24 hours a day, every minute of the day. We are affected by something that we are all familiar with, but we cannot define. So let's start out with something that every one of you know about. Something basic in life. Rules, laws, nature. Called gravity. Gravity. Gravity is a force that pulls things together. And as we will know, spiritual love is a force that pulls together. Pulls us to God. Pulls us to one another. We will see a lot about spiritual love analogy of force. Now, without getting too technical, a force is a push or pull that acts on an object. That's what a force is. A push or pull that operates on, that acts on an object. Now, what are the forces pushing and pulling on your life? Think about it. It's important to be aware of what forces push and pull you in life. Money, sex, another person, family, failure, whatever it is. We all have things that push and pull on us. Gravity is a force that pulls everything down toward the center of the earth. Gravity is a force that pulls, attracts things together. Now, while every object on this planet controlled by gravity, right down to every one of us, the fact that you can sit in your chair as I can stand here is because of the force of gravity. See, we could not function in life if it were not for gravity. And right there, we have a wonderful parallel. You would not be here if it were not for the love of God. We would not be here if it were not for gravity, the force of gravity. We would not be here if it were not for the force of the love of God. But as common as gravity is, and you can go home, look it up on Google. Don't do it right now, kid. Wait till you get home. You can look it up. And physicists cannot define gravity. They cannot explain gravity. That's amazing. They cannot explain gravity. They describe gravity. They define gravity the way the Bible defines love, by describing it. Listen to Webster. The gravitational attraction of the mass of the earth, moon, or a planet for bodies at or near its surface. A fundamental physical force. That's the best word that they come up with. That is responsible for interactions that occur between mass, between the, because of mass between particles. Go to Google. They define it by a force that acts on the material. Everyone, if you know about gravity, you've learned about a gravity, you've experienced it all your life, you depend on gravity, yet none of us can define it. None of us can technically define gravity. If you try to define it, you describe it. Many aspects of gravity that are a perfect analogy for our study in spiritual love. Another aspect of the force of gravity that is not only is it related to the earth, but the force of gravity holds the entire universe together. That was amazing when I went into my study on this. Gravity holds the entire universe together. Again, what a perfect picture, beautiful picture of how the love of God holds everything together. It's just amazing. Secondly, gravity is a force. That is, gravity does not have force. It is a force. You don't see it. So, gravity does not have force. It is a force. And here we begin our understanding about love. One of the first things you need to understand about love, definition and description, is that love is a force. Can't see it. See the results of it. See the impact of it. See it when it's not there. But it's a force. And there are some wonderful analogies between the physical force and the force of God's love or spiritual love. Now, while some love or electromagnetic force characterized by push and pull of two objects, we're not going to get that deep involved. We really limit our study to the force of gravity, which is characterized by a pull. By a pull. Years ago, I was greatly criticized for this study. I should have thought love is like a magnet that does this. And I understand what they're saying. But to me, you lose a whole lot if you don't understand how love is a force. And that's what this love is, a pulling force. As we will see, force becomes a perfect study analogy for divine love and spiritual love, love that the Holy Spirit pours into us. Now, forces are needed to start things moving. Forces are needed to start things moving. You have a stationary object. To start it moving, there has to be a force. To change the way, the direction they move, requires a force. Indeed, divine love is needed to start things moving in the human race, in our lives, as unbelievers, then as believers. Spiritual love affects the lives of believers. Divine love affects the lives of unbelievers. So, the whole ball of human history starts with the love of God, creating of the human race, sending His Son to the cross. So, even a force is needed even to stop things from moving. This is all going to be very important as we go through the study. Forces needed to stop things from moving. Forces are responsible for holding things together. So it is with the love of God. Without forces and energy, nothing, nothing would happen in the universe. Nothing at all. Think about it. It is a force of God's love that holds everything together in the universe. It is the love of God that causes things to happen in the universe, in our lives. It is His love. Force. Push, pull between objects. A force, think in terms of love, spiritual love. A force can make stationary objects move. or a force can change the direction of a body when it's moving. Or a force can change or increase the speed of an object moving. So let me go through that again, because we're going to build on this. A force can make a stationary object move. An unbeliever. God's love can get it to start moving. A force can change the direction of a body when it's moving. So an unbeliever is headed in this direction. The force of God's love hits it, and it's going in this direction now. See? A born-again believer can be going in this direction, hit by spiritual love, and change the whole direction of their life. The whole energy of what they're doing in their life. A force can change or increase the speed that an object is moving. The more we learn about spiritual love, it should increase, accelerate our Christian lives. Think about this means that love can take man in a stationary position and cause that person to move. Powerful direction, fulfilling the plan of God. This is how powerful God's love is. Cause an unbeliever or believer to move in the direction he wishes. Or, here's the thing, you can take a believer, unbeliever, moving in a wrong direction. The Apostle Paul, on his way to kill Christians. And so, moving in the wrong direction, not in the plan of God, not in the love of God, but the love of God is of such a magnitude, force, that it can change the direction we're going in our lives. The direction He wants you to go toward His glory. So you're going toward your own glory, the glory of yourself or man. He can change it all, directed toward His glory. That's the force of God's love. And the more we let it act on us, the more it will determine the direction we go and what we will do. The love of God pulling on you, like pulling, the force of gravity, pulling man, unbeliever, believer, towards Him, towards His Son, towards the cross. If you do not sense the pull of the love of God on you means, and this is crucial, there is a love of greater force pulling on you that you're not affected by the pull of the love of God. That's why a lot of people do not feel the pull of the love of God. Others sense it immediately. Let's take a plane for an example. A plane leaving the ground. Here's the ground. The plane's leaving the ground. Think about that. The force of gravity pulls on that plane to keep it on the ground. But the force of gravity decreases with distance. So the more distance the plane leaves from the earth, the pull of the earth has less pull on that plane. See? So the plane leaves and it weakens the amount of gravity pull on it. Now, the engines of the plane act as another force in our analogy, pulling the plane, decreasing the distance between the plane and the earth. So the engines are a force combating the force of gravity, and the further it gets away, the weaker this force just takes it and it's going on. So the plane resists the force of gravity pull on it. Okay? This is your life. If there is some other force pulling on you, you will not feel the force of God's love. It's that simple. The further you move away, the less you feel the force of God's love. Think about that. Today, the person walked with the Lord, they started getting away from it, and finally they reach a point, they're not concerned about the Lord at all. There's a greater force pulling on them inside their soul, in their life, pulling them away from the love of God. So they've reached a point they don't even care about the love of God. They're not sensitive to the love of God. They're not aware of it. Whereas yesterday they were close. But when you get further away from the force of God's love on you and the pull of this other love that you have, you will not be moved by the love of God. So it is in Romans 1, where God simply gives man over to the force of lust, just turns him over to it, to the force of degrading passions, so they will not even acknowledge God and the force of his love. That's what Romans 1 teaches. God just turns you away. You moved away from it, you won't even feel the force of his love. The force of gravitational attraction between two objects depends on the distance between them. We're going to see just how beautiful this greater distance between two objects, weaker force pulling them together, illustrates the force of divine love, the attraction of spiritual love between God and man and between man and man. So we're going to learn a lot about love as a great force acting on us, in us, and through us in regard to our relationship with him, his relationship with us. And people, it's a horrible place to be when God just says, okay, and lets you go and turns you over to a greater force, force of lust, the force of degrading passions, those kind of things listed in Romans 1. It's a frightening place to be, but we want to be aware of it. Want to be aware, because this can happen to all of us at any time. We can get so involved in some other force that we lose awareness of the force of the cross, the force of the love of God. That's why every now and then I'll say, stay close to the cross. The further you move away from the cross, you move out of the shadow, you move away from it, you lose its pull. It doesn't pull on you anymore. So we have to stay close to the cross. And the force of spiritual love, attraction between the believer and God, and the believer and one another. So, force of attraction depends on distance between them. The amount of force of the attraction depends on the distance between them. That is, the further apart objects are, the less force of attraction between them. So you take even two people, the further they are apart, the force of their spiritual love for us weakens. Your spiritual love for them weakens. Now, think about this. The further you move away from the love of God, the less you are affected by the force of his love. That's a powerful statement, in my opinion. The further we move away from the love of God, the less you're affected by the force of his love. You're not going to be affected by it. You'll be so involved in your worldly, whatever it is, that you're not affected by his love. And the only way you're going to be back is to be back in that realm, into that distance where his love can affect you. See? But your life is affected, it loses that effect of the love, force of his love, the less you're attracted to the Word of God, the less you're attracted to the Holy Spirit, the less you're attracted to Jesus Christ. Now, let's look for a moment briefly at distance principle. For an example, love of money. As we saw in a study in John 3:19, men love darkness rather than loving the light of light. They love darkness rather than the love of light. They've moved away. They're not affected by the love of the light anymore, the light of Jesus Christ. John 12:43. For they love the approval of men rather than the approval of God. So the further they moved away from just caring about what God says, to getting involved in caring about what men say. And I want to tell you something, that happens to a lot of preachers. They get to where they care more about what their congregation thinks than what the Lord thinks. And it hurts sometimes. It hurts sometimes. You stay with, as you're led by the Holy Spirit, and you start losing people. That is not a good thing. That doesn't feel good. So what happens is, they start leaning over toward needing that love of people that they can see. And they start losing the attraction of the love of God. John 12:25. He who loves his life loses it. You love your life. You love the force of your life more than you love God, more than you love the Lord. 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. Watch. If anyone loves the world, that force of the world's pulling on him, the love of the Father is not in him. So you get involved where you love the world, you love things going on in the world, material things, the things that the world offers, the glamour, whatever it is that the world has to offer. You start getting pulled into that, you're not aware of the love of God for you. And that's a horrible place to be in life. Do not love the world. You start the pull. It's a choice. You start choosing, I love this. I love this more than this. That's what happens to people in church. I love this more than church. And it can be something as simple, I love staying home watching TV more than being in church. I love doing this more than church. I love doing this with my money more than giving it to the service of the Lord. See? Starts affecting every area of our lives. The love of things, the love of these things, pulls you away from the love of God. Take this as a warning. Effect of His love on your life. Force of a ball determines the direction of the ball. Think of your life as a ball headed in this direction. The force of love, hopefully God's love, keeps you going. Which force determines the direction of your life? And each one of us have to answer that privately, personally. Which force determines the direction in our lives? Our love for something? God's love for us. Which is it going to be? This is something that better begin to understand. No matter which category of love we're speaking, even human love is a force. It pulls. Human love pulls, divine love pulls, spiritual love pulls. You better be aware of which force is pulling on you. Pulling you toward God, pulling you away from God. It's up to you. A love of the family can pull you away from the love of God. Love of a woman, love of a man can pull you away from the love of God. Love of things, love of money, love of anything can pull you away from the love of God. Force inside a man is what regulates or determines decisions you make in life. Choices you make determined by the force of love inside of you. I like to point out to people, you want to know what's really important to you? Really want to know? It's a frightening thing. Be careful. But if you really want to know, take out your checkbook at the end of the year. See how much money you spend on different things. Add them all up. Then you'll see what's important. See? Things, mortgages, car, trips, fun. Oh yeah, church down there a little bit. See? Determines where your love is. Nobody has to tell you. Just close the door and look at it yourself. See where your money went. That'll let you know where your love is. See? Choices you make determined by the force of love inside of you. This is true of human love. Multitude of people have ruined their lives by choices of the force of romantic love. I've got to have this man. I've got to have this woman. They're wrong for you. Well, I've got to have it. And so they leave the truth. And they even maybe leave their husband and their wife because of that love, that force. Many people have ruined their lives by the force of human love that works inside of them. So this is something we have to be aware of. Paul in Romans makes this very clear, that there are different forces working inside. There are forces working inside of every believer that determines choices that we make, decisions that you make, thoughts that enter your head. And love is one of those forces inside of every believer. Walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. It's a force. Alright? Three. There are three properties of gravity that help us to understand both gravity and love. Three properties I'm going to concentrate on. Simplify the physics down to three. And here they are. Three properties. Direction, magnitude, impact or effect. Those are right out of physics books dealing with the force of gravity. Direction, magnitude, effect, and impact. All right, let's take a look at direction. How important is the direction of love? Both gravity and love are understood in the property of direction. And direction is extremely important to both gravity and love. You organize your whole life around the direction of gravity toward the earth. Now think about this in regard to love. Or it's important to our life. Depend on the law of gravity. Remaining consistent in direction. And as we will see, the same principle holds true in regard to love. Love has direction. Young lady, be careful of the man whose love is multidirectional. Young man, be careful of the woman, the girl, whose love is multidirectional. Tonight she loves you, tomorrow night she loves someone else. See? And that's very important. You don't want to judge, you just want to be aware of this. Love has direction. And the direction of love is vital. For an example, the direction of the new commandment. Love one another. Not love the world, not love God, not love me. Love one another. And another is another of the same kind. So the direction of spiritual love should be, and will be, toward other believers. And our whole existence relies on the direction of the love of God. For God so loved, direction, the world. That was the direction of His love. And as we're going to see, direction of love is not only a wonderful thing, but direction of love presents one of the problems of love, one of the great challenges of love. We know importance of direction of faith, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, yourself, works. But both faith and love have direction. The direction of faith makes all the difference in the world. And the direction of love is vital to the understanding of love. So often we like to choose the direction of our love. Some people have to earn my love. See? Spiritually, physically, in the world. You got to earn my love. That's the way some people direct their love. Example of the importance of the direction of love, John 3:16. Another example, the new commandment. Command of the Old Testament. Love your neighbor. That's the direction of it. Love your neighbor. Direction of love in the Old Testament, love your neighbor. However, it all changes in the New Testament, in the New Commandment, by Jesus Christ in John 13. Love one another. Direction of this love. See? We'll deal with other aspects of that as I have loved you in a few moments later. But right now, I just want you to see, we're dealing with the importance of understanding the direction of love. And it's very dangerous, especially in the world we live in today. You're married, love, and you meet someone else. And pretty soon you find you're starting to respond to that direction. Your love is starting to shift to that direction, away from this direction. It's so vital that we understand direction. Direction of love. In romance, in truth of spiritual realm, the church, so many areas in life. So important. The new commandment by Jesus Christ in John 13, love one another. A love directed toward other believers. Okay. Then, of course, there's the problem of direction of love in spiritual warfare. For an example, love toward money, love of money. It's such importance that it is said to be the root of all forms of evil. So you put your direction of your love that direction, it's going to have problems. You got to pay close attention. If I had a little boy or a little girl, son or daughter, I would make this very important to them. You're going to pay for the direction of your love. Be careful. So if you decide you love this little guy or that girl, whatever the case might be, think about it. Think it through. So if you decide you love money, think about it. The Bible's very warning on it. It is the root of all evil. So a love of money is the root of all evil. Money's not evil, but the love of money is. Love of family. Stronger than your love of Jesus Christ. Love for approbation of man. Stronger than your approbation from God. You want to change things just to do what you want to do. Again, as noted earlier, loving of darkness. Loving the approval of man rather than the approval of God. Loving your own life. Loving the world. All of these have problems. So the direction of love has severe problems in life. All are opposed to the direction of your love toward Jesus Christ. That is the fundamental direction of our love, should be toward Jesus Christ. So the direction of your love is important. You have to be aware, always, the direction of your love, object of your love. Also with direction, something we will study in more detail. A force can actually change direction of movement. A force can change direction of movement. Why do you think so many divorces are caused by another person? You're going in this direction. You get your eyes over here on this one, another man, another woman, and you were in a very good motion this way. And now what's happening? Your eyes start you motioning in another direction. And pretty soon you're in a whole other direction than the one you were shooting. You should be aware of it right from the beginning. You should be aware of it. You know what? I could become attracted to that person. I could become attracted to making money. I could become attracted to this or that. I got to watch it. I got to watch it carefully. Because I don't want to be led astray. I don't want to change direction of my love. I love the direction of my love toward Jesus Christ, my husband, wife, my family. I don't want to change direction. So you have to be careful when direction comes in. Force can make a stationary object move. Or a force can make a moving object change its direction. See? That's what happens. Let me just do a little personal. 67 years, I was stationary. Just stationary. That's the way I was. And I was content with that. And then all of a sudden, God brings Judith into my life and starts moving me. Moving me in an unbelievable direction. See? That's what love does. It moves our direction in life. So a force can make a moving object change, can make a stationary object starting to move. Our force can make a moving object go faster. This is why we should desire to remain under the influence of God's love. Love given by the Holy Spirit. The more you walk in the Spirit, the more you love in the Spirit, the momentum of that spiritual love increases and increases. And finally, it just soon takes over every part of your being. In other words, love of God directing us, can actually change the direction in our lives. What we want to do, where we want to be. That is how beautiful and wonderful this love is. It's how powerful God's love is. God's love can take an unbeliever who is stationary, going nowhere, and start him moving into the direction of the plan of God. And his whole life changes. His whole life changes. See? I've seen this work both ways. I've met seminary students, guys in seminary. They knew they had the gift of pastor teacher. Now, I don't know if they did or not. Let's just take their word. They did. They got married and, of course, had a child. And, of course, had to support the child and the wife. And, of course, drop out of seminary. There goes that whole thing. And then what happens? Well, I guess I really don't have the gift. That's how they justify it. So what happened, you have to make up your mind about these things in life. And then, of course, I've seen it where I had no idea of serving the Lord, had no idea of going into the ministry, had my life well planned out. I was going to be a playboy, be a lawyer, and there were lawyers in seminary. There were veterinarians in seminary, all kinds of professional people in seminary. And just, I scratched my head. How could you spend, 6 years in vet school and all that, or law, and say, well, now I'm going to go to seminary. See? It's amazing. But that's what can happen. It gets a hold of you, and you decide, this is the direction I need to go. When the love of the Holy Spirit flows through you, that is when you love another with spiritual love. That love can actually change the direction of your life. Now, self-righteous Christians are always looking for proof of one's salvation, of one's repentance. Let me tell you something. Salvation has no force on your life. Repentance has no force on your life. But the Holy Spirit, pouring in spiritual love, as a force on your life. That's where you can see a difference. There's no difference in whether one is saved or not. No difference whether one is repented or not. But I can tell you if one is walking in the power of the Holy Spirit or not, generally. Not always, but generally. I can tell you when they are or are not walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. See? Don't look at their life, their faith in Christ, to change them experientially. Eternally, absolutely, forever. But don't look for repentance to change the direction of someone's life. It is the power of spiritual love of the Holy Spirit that can change the direction of one's life. Love, spiritual love, can start you moving in the direction God desires you to be moving. His love can change the direction of your life. As you abide in His love, knitted with abiding in the love of Christ, abiding in Him, His love for you, for the love of the Holy Spirit, can accelerate, increase the momentum of your life. So many mysteries about His love to be seen in a person's life. And you can watch people in their life, just went to church, and all of a sudden I started getting into it. And man, now I'm in it. This is what I want to do. I've been doing this, but this is what I want to do. And I hope it doesn't mind, but I have kitten mind here. Just for years and years and years, worked at airplanes. But more he grew, more he loved in the Word of God, that's all I want to do. If Kit could do it his way, he'd live at the Dallas Seminary Library all day, every day. Just sit down there. Maybe take a break to eat, I don't know. See? But that's what happens to you. When He grabs hold of you with this love, it gives you that momentum, direction in life. Okay, I'm going to start a whole other deal. So we'll begin here next Wednesday night before the new year. And that's where we'll begin next Wednesday night. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your love, and we're so grateful for the Word of God that explains it to us, tells us what's happening to us, tells us the force that's causing us to be the way we are when we are in the power of your Spirit. We praise you, God, for your plan. It's a mystery, but it's inside of us, the love of Christ. So, Father, we thank you. I pray that your Spirit can use the things we've seen tonight for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.